Let me read from verse 4, where we were up to last week. James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? The Christian understanding of God, and indeed there are many voices out there telling us God's like this, God is like that, but the Christian understanding of God is one God revealed in three persons together in perfect relationship. Brian and I did not collude this morning, but I really appreciated his reminder of the nature of God. One God in three persons together in perfect relationship. As John wrote in his letter, God is love, perfect relationship. And so when it comes to how we relate to God, how do we know God, the Bible points us to this fact that God is love. And that he loves us and welcomes us, his creation, into his loving relationship. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That God, motivated by love, reaches out to humanity in love so that we can enter into his loving relationship. And to help us understand what that looks like in practice, we see time and time again in the Bible the use of wedding imagery, of the relationship between a bride and the bridegroom. God's relationship with humanity, the relationship he wants with us, is like the relationship that exists between a bride and a bridegroom. Two becoming one. And that's the imagery James uses here in this portion of Scripture. I mean, look again at his language. Adulterous people, friendship, enmity, hatred, enemy, longs jealously. Indeed, this is the language of lovers. It's the language of the God who loves you, who yearns for you. We see something of this at the very outset of creation as God comes looking for Adam and Eve. The all-knowing God. Never lose sight of the fact that this is the all-knowing God saying, Adam, where are you? It's not because God lost him. It's not because God didn't know where he was. It's the heart cry of God. It's the yearning out of his heart. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? I want you back. This is the picture of one who is unwilling, this language of one who is unwilling to share you with anyone. Zechariah the prophet said it so well, declaring as the mouthpiece of God, I am burning with jealousy for my people. God is a jealous lover. A jealous lover. But what does this have to do with successful relationships? That's the imagery that James is introducing us to through his language. But yeah, how does that relate to relationship? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4 verse 7. Dear friends, John writes, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You want me to believe that God exists, that Jesus is real? Well, maybe you need to demonstrate to me some kindness and love. Maybe people looking into at the church from the outside understandably runs out of the room, as I did as a 13-year-old, going, you Christians are an absolute joke. If you expect me to believe that God exists and that Jesus is real by the way you live with one another, by the way you treat people. It's confronting, isn't it? And so when it comes to how do we relate to God, how do we know God, the Bible points us to this fact that God is love, absolute love, constantly. And indeed, when our relationships are characterized by our twisted desires overflowing in fights and quarrels, as we saw last week, we as the children of God are behaving as if we don't know God at all. We are, in verse 4, adulterous people, friends with the world, against God, verse 5. Seduced by the devil, verse 11, are against the law, which is all about loving your neighbor as yourself. Friends, we need to hear what God is saying to us. When our relationships are unhealthy, our problem is not just with that person. It's with God. It's with God himself. We are behaving like an unfaithful bride, and we need to come back home. The truly amazing thing about God's revelation of himself that we find in the person of Jesus and recorded and held given to us through the Bible is his willingness to welcome us back. I'm sure we've all experienced breakdowns of relationships. Some of them have been our fault. Others have been other people's fault. And some of those relationships we've been able to experience restoration, whereas some of them, it just hasn't worked. Because the fact of the matter is, people said, that's it. Sorry, too late. I don't want it. I don't want it anymore. But the amazing thing is that God is the God who forgives, who gives grace, who shows favor to the humble. That's what James is telling us. And so as we read on in this portion of Scripture, we see that James continues with this imagery of the jilted lover and helps us find a way back to the one who loves us. Notice verse 7. Step 1, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To come back is to turn away from the one with whom we committed adultery. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? But that's the imagery. To turn back to God is to come and leave the one with whom we are guilty of committing adultery with, the devil himself. Yes, James tells us to resist the devil, who in the imagery of the picture that he's painting is a seducer who is seeking to lure us away from the one who loves us. Alternative lovers will come with certain appeal at times and we'll need to consciously reject them. I remember an elderly lady on one occasion telling us how whenever she'd been married for many years and she said, whenever I was tempted, I would take the concept of elderly lady and tempted. That's an interesting picture in and of itself. Whenever I was tempted, I would take myself for a long walk and give myself a good talking to. And that's what James is saying here. Hang on a second. I don't belong to this person. I once belonged to the devil, but Jesus rescued me. I belong to him, to Jesus. In the midst of the marriage ceremony, that the whole heart of the matter is being willing to commit. It's a recognition, it's acknowledgement. I have now become a one woman kind of man. And I'm looking at my wife saying, and I look to you to become a one man kind of woman. That's what this is all about. That's the picture. Yes. No occasional phone call, no stalking them on Facebook, no driving past the house just to see what's changed. This is a total rejection, a total rejection. I belong to Jesus. But this is really interesting. Notice what the Apostle Paul does when he writes to the Ephesians. He too focuses a lot of his attention on relationships. He talks about relationships. And in Ephesians 4, verse 25, notice what he writes. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. When we were first married, we really saw this as law. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. But after a while, we discovered that we had most of our fights. If we were going to have a fight, we'd have them late at night. So we figured it was better just to go to bed and go to sleep. So I'm not sure how I think we resolved this. But I find this intriguing that here in Ephesians and equally in James, the same concept is going on. Relationship breakdown, hang on a second, in some way it's a declaration of allegiance, of a belonging to the devil. It's an abandonment of my husband, Jesus. It's in Ephesian language given the devil a foothold, a place. And here in James, it's resisting him, fleeing him, running away from him. Indeed, we need to remind ourselves that because Jesus died and rose again, he has triumphed over the devil. We reminded ourselves of that this morning as we sang. Therefore, when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Don't think for one minute our resistance is that the thing is won because I'm resisting. Hang on a second. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying walk in relationships that reflect who God is. And in that way, you are honoring Jesus, you are serving Jesus, and in that way, you are resisting the devil. Because you're saying, I don't belong to you, mate. I belong to Jesus. He has no claim on your life. He is defeated at the cross. Jesus is Lord. And I love the picture. I love this concept that when I have captured in myself, I think, oh, good grief, the way I spoke then, the attitude I'm taking into this thing. Man, I am so giving ground to the devil. But the minute I make it right, because Jesus won the victory on the cross, I'm, as it were, pushing the devil back, resisting the devil, not giving him ground, light breaking into the darkness. We see also here in James that coming back is not pretty. It requires repentance. Verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. This language in verse 9, grieve, mourn, wail, gloom, this is a picture of a funeral. But it's not a picture of a British funeral. You know, a funeral full of stiff upper lips and reserve. When you read that, you've got to think Middle East. Think Middle East, where it's out there, where it's loud. There are other cultures do grief like that, but that's the picture here. I hate this within myself. This is horrible. This is not some, oh, well, it's, you know, it's no big deal. It's not a problem. No. See, I'm not sure, certainly as Westerners, we do repentance well. And maybe part of the reason is we make too little of our sin and too much of the idea that, particularly in Australia, well, God's our mate and, ah, oh, you know, he'll overlook it. It's only a minor indiscretion. But hang on, the picture that James is painting for us here is that God is a jealous husband. We commit adultery. The picture James paints is of a bride who is no longer pure and clean, but of one who needs to wash and purify themselves. Indeed, our adultery is sin and God hates it. But friends, when we come near to God, this is the promise of God's word. When we come near to God, he comes near to us. Remember the father in Jesus' story of the son who left home? To welcome his son who had abandoned him, his son who had just frolicked in the midst of sinful behavior. And when he turned and came home, this father ran to him. That's God's heart. That's the heart of a lover. That's the heart of the God who welcomes us into relationship. And indeed, the father embraced the son and welcomed him home. And then finally, coming back means trusting God with our lives. Verse 10, humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This repetition of the word humble is interesting, isn't it, here in this portion of Scripture? Because part of our human condition is, I don't need anyone, I can do it myself. I can do it all myself. But indeed, God is our Heavenly Father. He is the one who made us and knows what we need. And the real issue, just as it was in the Garden of Eden, just as it always is, the real issue is whether or not we are willing to trust him and allow him to be God in our lives. To humbly receive from God what he gives us instead of proudly and rebelliously insisting on our own way. The revelation of Scripture is so clear. We can trust God. We can trust him. He is the one who lifts us up. He is the one who blesses us and gives us all we need for life and godliness. So just for a few moments, I'd like to create some space, just a moment, where you and I can stop. And I want to invite you to think about your relationships and what they might say about what you actually believe. And maybe this morning you need to just come home to God Himself and say, Lord, man, if this is an indicator of what's going on with me in relation to you, I need to come home. I need to come back to you. Why don't we just take a few moments of quietness, and why don't you feel free to quietly respond to God. You might like to pray. You might feel the need to confess sin. You take this moment, this opportunity. Father, we thank you for the gift of humanity, that you created us in your image. You created us that we might know you, we might have a relationship with you, that God, you in your love have made yourself known as perfect love, and welcome us into that relationship with you. Lord, we ask your forgiveness today for how we have allowed unhealthy relationships to grow inside us. As far as we're responsible, Lord, we ask you for your forgiveness today. Father, we want to honor you with the way we relate to people. And so, Lord, would you meet us this morning? Cleanse us. Wash us whiter than snow. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name, knowing that you are the God who forgives. You are the God who welcomes sinners home. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As an addendum, it's an interesting thought, and I've really wrestled with this. You see, a third of James's letter, from chapter 3, verse 1, down to 4, verse 12, has been given to relationship. It strikes me as interesting. Why? Why is it so important? Well, could it be that relationships are a window? And how you do them has the potential to shine out the glory of God. We have the opportunity to show off God, to show God to the world, simply by the way we speak to each other, simply by the way we treat other people. What a great opportunity. Bless you. Come and lead us, Brian.